Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we are starting our lifestyle article entitled Looking After Yourself. And here to help us are two wonderful panelists. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's Amanda here. Good to be here on the show.
Hi, I'm Linda, and I'm also glad to be here.
Well, ladies, are you taking good care of yourself? You don't have to answer that, but listeners, you can think about that as well. We're talking about how to combat a bad night's sleep and feed your brain. What do we mean by that, Linda?
To combat something, we fight against it or do something to prevent it. And then feeding our brain, we don't actually, well, I guess we could think of feeding our brain when, you know, we think about the actual food that we put into our body because it does affect our brain. But there are other ways that you can energize your brain, that you can restore, you know, its function.
Okay, so on day three, we will actually be talking about feeding our brain. Today, we are talking about sleep, and this is a sensitive subject for me. I don't always get a good night's sleep. There's so much to do here in Taipei and so many people to meet up with and so forth. It's so convenient. So it's hard sometimes to find time for sleep. And I wonder about Amanda. How about you?
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. You know, I go to bed, I think, a lot later now that I live in Taipei. But yeah, sometimes I wake up during the night. Usually it's because I've eaten or drunk something with caffeine in it or eaten something sugary too late in the evening.
All right. And Linda, do you sleep well at night usually?
Well, I think we all have our share of sleepless nights, and I've had mine. Yeah, sometimes it can be due to eating something or maybe having caffeine too late. Now I know after a certain time I can't have coffee or any caffeinated drink because it will affect my sleep.
And I think for me, if I would maybe go to bed at the same time every night, that would help. But I don't usually do that. It depends on what I'm doing that particular night. So I get to bed at different times. And so that's not helpful. And sometimes it's hard just to stop your brain, right? It can be really active. You're thinking about a lot of things. But how can we fight against that? Today we will be talking about different ways to make it through the day after a terrible night's sleep. And so this is good news maybe for those of you, maybe today you're listening or tonight, and you have not had a good night's sleep the prior day before or whatever, or you can use this tomorrow if you don't have a good night's sleep tonight. There's some tips here, and we hope that they will be useful. So let's open up our magazines to page 16, or if you have your electronic device, you can follow along there as well. We will have our first reading for today.
Looking after yourself. How to combat a bad night's sleep and feed your brain. Several ways to make it through the day after a terrible night's sleep. Between work and kids, logging 7 to 8 uninterrupted hours can feel like a joke. But instead of beating yourself up for yet another lousy night of sleep, use these tips to make the most of what you got. 1. Don't delay the inevitable. Research shows snooze button sleep is fragmented sleep, and fragmented sleep is not restorative sleep. It's a good rule of thumb to set your alarm for the actual time you need to wake up, says Alice Doe, a sleep medicine specialist at Borges Medical Center in Michigan, and then actually get up. 2. Give caffeine a fair chance to kick in. Experts typically stick to an upper limit of roughly 4 cups of coffee, but too much coffee can leave you with headaches, heart palpitations, and a serious case of the jitters, Doe says. Keep in mind that it takes about 30 minutes for caffeine to kick in, so pace yourself throughout the morning and have a cup around noon or 1 p.m., she says. After that, stick to decaf. Caffeine takes a long time to be eliminated from your body, Doe says.
All right, so here we go. We're talking about what to do after a bad night's sleep, and how do we start off, Amanda?
Well, we hear from the author that has to work and also has children. They say between work and kids, logging 7 to 8 uninterrupted hours can feel like a joke. And here they're talking about sleep.
Okay.
Right? So between working and looking after their kids, being able to get 7 hours of uninterrupted sleep can feel like a joke.
I'm discouraged already because I have work, but I don't have kids, and I already lack sleep. So one day, if I'm blessed with kids, it's going to be pretty hard, right?
Well, I think you have to have a good schedule, mm-hmm. especially with kids. Mm-hmm. Like you get them on a schedule and get yourself on a schedule, and then it can work. But still, mm-hmm. with kids, it is hard getting maybe 7 to 8 hours of sleep or more.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, getting on a schedule. I notice the more, you know, tasks I have to do in a day, I'm better about structuring my day. Versus if I don't have as much, then you just play around with time.
And exactly.
And so that's a good point. So it talks about logging 7 to 8 interrupted hours. The idea there is, of course, getting that much sleep. But what is really meant by logging?
Well, we used to say, like, if you logged hours, that would be work hours, mm-hmm. That you would clock in. So here's just talking about, yeah, how many hours you get in.
Okay. So it can feel like a joke, like this is not really possible, mm-hmm. right? But instead of beating yourself up for yet another lousy night of sleep, we have some tips here. Now, I like that phrase, beating yourself up. Oftentimes, we can kind of beat ourselves up. The idea is that we're hard on ourselves.
Yeah, we're not literally talking about hurting yourself physically here. We are talking about just that you are you feel disappointed in yourself, or you feel you let yourself down.
And that word lousy there just means bad. So a bad night of sleep, a bad night's sleep. And then we have some tips here to make the most of what you got. So let's start off with tip number one.
Don't delay the inevitable.
Okay, and inevitable?
Something that's inevitable is bound to happen. It's unavoidable.
All right, and I start off with something that I use a lot, the snooze button. Panelists, do you use that snooze button, Amanda?
I do. Actually, I'm even worse. I make different alarms, you know, like 5
yes.
minutes apart. So
sometimes
then
I do that.
Push it, stop it, and then 5 minutes later, it'll go off again. So it's the same function as a snooze button.
Right. Mm. Okay, Linda?
I used to use the snooze button. I don't really use it anymore because, I'm usually up before it goes off. The
okay.
alarm goes off. So I don't.
That's another thing. I don't know, listeners, you can probably relate to this. Maybe many of you wake up usually before your alarm goes off. And that can be kind of frustrating in a way because you mm-hmm. want to sleep the full amount of time,
right.
Especially if it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like,
or even
come on.
5 minutes. I used to be, like when I was going to school, like, oh, I still have 5 more minutes. I want to, like, sleep those 5 more minutes.
I sometimes press the snooze button several times. Like, you know, my alarm is set maybe, for example, 6 a.m. and I don't get up till 6:30 or later. So that's kind of a waste of time, right? So here we talk about that. We talk about fragmented sleep. Research shows snooze button sleep is fragmented sleep, meaning it's broken up. And you kind of get that idea because maybe you fall back to sleep for a few minutes and then you have to wake back up to hit the snooze button. So how do they describe fragmented sleep?
Well, they say it's not restorative sleep. And restorative here means that it makes you feel better or more energetic. So the problem with it is not good sleep.
All right. And then we talk about a good rule of thumb is to set your alarm for the actual time you need to wake up. And rule of thumb just means practical, an approximate way of doing or measuring something. It's just a good, if you say something is a good rule of thumb, it's kind of a good rule to follow.
Right.
And so you just set your alarm and you actually get up at that time. Now, some people have heard this for years. They put their alarm clock, or most people use their phones now, like somewhere else where they have to get up out of bed mm-hmm. to like turn the alarm off. So that's something else that you may want to try. Now, who is giving us this information, Linda?
Alice Doe. She's a sleep medicine specialist at Borges Medical Center in Michigan.
Okay, so set that alarm and get up. Don't worry about using the snooze button.
Right.
Give it a try and let us know if it works, and then maybe we will try it out too.
Because getting up is the inevitable. You have to get up, you know,
right.
So might as well
That's right. You
know, do it, not get fragmented.
Okay, what is tip number two, Amanda?
Give caffeine a fair chance to kick in. And when we mean fair chance here, we mean that give it a reasonable amount of time to actually do its job.
All right, yes. Give that caffeine some time to kick in. Sometimes you're drinking your cup of coffee and you're thinking, why am I still so tired, right?
Right.
So you have to give it some time. And what do experts tell us?
Experts typically stick to an upper limit of roughly 4 cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Now, I always think this is funny. How big is a cup, right? You know, I mean, I guess that's, what, 8 ounces?
Yeah, and that's what we consider a small cup nowadays. Some people, you know, they use double that size, a 16-ounce mm-hmm. cup as their normal size mm-hmm. cup. Mm-hmm. So it depends, but normally we'd say 8 ounces.
Right, so you probably would, like, want to go with a smaller measurement just to be safe, mm-hmm. but it's good news. They've done these studies, and they say that a reasonable amount of coffee possibly is good for you. So this is what experts are saying. Too much coffee can do what, though?
Well, they can leave you with headaches, they can leave you with heart palpitations, and a serious case of the jitters. Now, heart palpitation means when your heart rate, your heartbeat moves faster, quicker than you're normally used to or than it normally would. And if we say you have a serious case of the jitters, well, jitters means that you start to shake uncontrollably.
Okay, yes, and I've experienced that at times. I think if I've had too much caffeine, and that's not fun, so you want to make sure you keep that in check. And we also need to keep in mind that it takes about 30 minutes for caffeine to kick in, so get that cup of coffee a little earlier if you want it to kick in earlier, and we should also pace ourselves, Linda.
Right, throughout the morning, and have a cup around noon or around noontime, but then after that, stick to decaf because caffeine after that will affect your sleep.
Okay, and what does it mean to pace yourself?
Well, that means to go at a speed that is spread out,
mm-hmm.
right? Not all in one go. So
right.
You want it to be a moderate speed.
Okay, and sometimes, you know, for some people, if they drink caffeine in the afternoon, they can't sleep at night. Other people, it doesn't bother. So you need to
right.
know what works for you. And we learn here from Doe that caffeine takes a long time to be eliminated from your body. That's good to remember because sometimes we like to keep ourselves caffeinated, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like to drink coffee in the morning, and oftentimes I'll drink tea in the afternoon, and that could play a role in why I can't sleep at night at times. So that's the first two tips, but we have more. So let's go to our next reading for today there on the right-hand side of the page, on page 16.
Three, avoid dwelling on it. Never underestimate the power of positive thinking. Yes, you didn't get enough sleep. No, that doesn't guarantee today will be a wash. Put on your favorite top, that special occasions only piece of jewelry, a fun lip color, something for you to feel good about, Doe says. Then use it to keep up the sunny attitude throughout the day. It's going to be a challenge, she says, but try to make this a glass half full kind of day. Studies say positive thinking can help you cope with stressful situations. 4. Tackle your tough projects first. Getting through any actual work may be the hardest part of today. Budget your energy and get the big stuff out of the way early. Research suggests that you've got a 2-hour window when you'll be at your best, starting 1 hour after you wake up, Doe says. She suggests tabling any major decisions, whether they're personal or professional, for a more well-rested day.
I love tip number 3. It says avoid dwelling on it. Oftentimes we dwell on our problems and it just brings us down. So if we dwell on the fact that we're really, really tired, it's going to make matters worse, right, Linda?
Right. Yeah, if you keep thinking about something, then, you know, it's just going to, it's not going to get any better, you know? And often we do that with problems. We just keep thinking about it over and over and it doesn't help the situation. It just actually makes it worse.
Okay, so we shouldn't underestimate the power of positive thinking. Now, this is a common phrase, a common thought that, you know, we've heard this many times. But I like that word underestimate. Let's talk about that first. What does that mean, Amanda?
It means don't think less of the power that positive thinking would have. In this case, yeah, positive thinking. So don't think less about whatever it is they're talking about.
Right. If we underestimate something, we think less of it, right? And power of positive thinking, of course, is thinking positively. Mm. You know, it may not change everything, but it helps you to have a better attitude, and it helps the people around you as well, which is very important. So you didn't get enough sleep, but that doesn't guarantee that the day will be a wash, Linda.
Right. So here, wash might be a waste or just not be useful or good. So don't expect it to be a bad day just because you didn't get enough sleep.
And it's important the way in which you start your day. If you start on a negative note, well, don't expect, don't be surprised if the whole day is that way. So start off on a positive note and put on your favorite top or your favorite shirt. I don't call my shirts tops. Why do they have that word there, Amanda?
And there's usually, yeah, as women, we call them tops.
Right. Okay. And or that special occasions only piece of jewelry.
Yeah, I think also you probably don't have that unless, well, it could be, I don't know, an
maybe
earring
a watch.
Yeah.
Like an expensive
and
watch.
I definitely do not have a fun lip color, so I feel a little left out here, ladies. But the point is...
Oh, you can wear a colorful shirt, though.
Yes. The point is put on something or do something that kind of makes you happy.
Right.
Maybe I will go get something I really like to eat for breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Something that you can feel good about. And then do what, Linda?
And then use it to keep up the sunny attitude throughout the day. So a sunny attitude is a cheerful attitude, being happy, being smiley.
Okay. It's going to be a challenge, so we know this isn't easy. It's a choice. Many things in life is about making the choice to do it. And I think the older I get, I'm not that old, but the older I get, the more I realize that you have the choice to love someone or to be happy, or you can choose to be sad. So here you have to make the choice to have a positive attitude and have a glass half full kind of day.
Oh, that comes from a phrase that we often use. Do you look at life with the glass half full or half empty?
Mm.
That means, like, how do you look at something or the situation or at life? So if it's half full, you're looking at it in a positive way. If you look at something with the glass half empty, then you're looking at something in a negative way.
Yes, and so it's easy to look at something with the glass half empty for a lot of people, and so you have to work at that. But this encourages you to be positive, of course. Studies say positive thinking can help you cope with stressful situations. And if you cope with something, you're simply doing what?
You're dealing with it.
Okay. So studies have shown that if you are a positive thinker, it helps you to deal with those stressful situations. Because I think if you're already thinking negatively and then something stressful happens, you will probably be more inclined to, you know, respond negatively toward that. It kind of brings you further down. But if you're coming from a positive place, maybe, you know, you'll respond a little bit more positively. So that's something you can try out, and hopefully it will help you with those stressful situations. So we've had number 1, don't delay the inevitable. Number 2, wait for that caffeine to kick in. Give it a chance to kick in. Number 3, avoid dwelling on it. And then what is number 4, Amanda?
Tackle your tough projects first.
All right. This is a great reminder to, when you get up in the morning, hopefully you have more energy so you can tackle those projects, those tough projects first. So getting through any actual work may be the hardest part of today. So what should we do, Linda?
We should budget our energy and get the big stuff out of the way early. So the major stuff, get done first.
All right, and I like that idea of budgeting our energy. We want to make sure we use our energy wisely. We think of budgeting our money, right? We have a budget for our money. We make sure we have enough money to last us the whole month or the whole year. Well, we want to make sure we have enough energy to last us the whole day. So, you know, even though you should get those tough projects done early, we don't want to use all of our energy up on them, right? We want to budget our energy so we have enough for the entire day. And that's not easy to do, is it, Amanda?
It's not easy to do because, you know, you may have a lot of things on your plate that day. You may have a lot of tasks that you need to do. So you really have to think about where do you want to place your energy.
And depending on your job, you don't always have that luxury, right? You have to get something done like right away, and it may not be the biggest project, but it might be urgent. So it just depends on your line of work. All right, so what does research suggest, Linda?
That you've got a 2-hour window when you'll be at your best. So start 1 hour after you wake up.
Do you think that's true? Do you feel that's true for you, Amanda, that that 2-hour window is when you get a lot of stuff done or when you have a lot of energy?
I mean, in this situation where I would have had a terrible night's sleep, first of all, I think yes. I think hopefully 3. I've got a few more hours than 2. But I do think as soon as I've woken up, those couple of hours, they make a big difference.
Okay. And Linda?
Yeah, I think I probably do have more energy in the morning, and then it starts to fade.
But some people, I guess, are better at night. Like if you're a night person, maybe you have more energy then. And so that's a good time for you to work if you are able to do so. So this is, of course, Doe who's suggesting all this. And she also suggests tabling any major decisions. That's a good word there, Linda.
Yeah, so if you table something, you set it aside or you delay it, hold off on doing it. And here she's talking about major decisions. So if you're not in the right state of mind, if you don't feel you've had enough sleep, then put those major decisions to the side until you do feel that you're in the right position to make those decisions.
I think this is one of maybe the best pieces of advice in this article even, because if you have a big decision coming up, but you're really tired, well, try to get some rest before you make that big decision, because you may not be thinking clearly. You may be allowing other factors to control you and you're stressed. And so if at all possible, wait until you are in a better state to make those big decisions, whether they be personal or professional. And so we've had some good tips today. And I want to, before we go, I want to ask our panelists, which of these tips do you find to be the most helpful? Amanda?
I think it would be to tackle your tough projects first.
Okay.
I think that when I haven't had a lot of sleep, this is a great one to use, because then I will be able to decide what I'm going to do first for the day and get it out of the way so that if I start to feel bad continuing on through the day, then I know that I've done that first.
Sometimes you may want to do the easiest first, because you're just starting the day and you want to procrastinate. Oh no, I'll do that later.
But procrastination.
But you may regret that. You almost certainly will regret that later. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and get those tough or big tasks out of the way. Okay, Linda, which tip do you find most helpful?
I think I'd find 3 most helpful, and just not thinking about already I'm maybe starting out with less hours of sleep, you know, put that to the side and just try to have a more positive attitude and do something that puts me in a better attitude to take on my day. And then, I think it really does make a difference when you see the glass half full rather than half empty.
All right. And I want to remind everyone, don't beat yourself up. And that kind of goes in with 3 about not dwelling on it. Okay. Maybe you didn't go to bed early enough and it's your fault. Well, just get over it as best you can and don't beat yourself up about it, but learn from it and make some necessary changes. So we have been talking about ways to make it through the day after a terrible night's sleep. We're talking about looking after yourself in this month's lifestyle article. And we have just a little bit of time left, and so just some last thoughts before we go. What are some things, panelists, maybe that you do, just in general, to look after yourself? It may not have anything necessarily to do with sleep, but something you like to do to kind of, you know, take care of yourself.
I think for me, one thing I like to do is you've talked about drinks, you know, something that you like to drink. Maybe it's coffee, or if you want to cheer yourself up, maybe, you know, something you're getting really stressed out mm-hmm. during your day, is to do one thing that you like either to do or to mm-hmm. treat yourself with.
Okay.
I had drinks in mind as well. I think staying hydrated is very important. So make sure that you're drinking enough fluids. Of course, water would be best because, you know, it doesn't have any additives or sugar or whatever. But just, you know, to keep yourself hydrated throughout the day.
All right. I like to go for a run. I haven't been recently. So I need to do that more consistently, more often. But I love to go for a run by the river and just take in the scenery, listen to something on my, you know, a podcast or something, and that helps to kind of relax me. And so find something you can do today maybe to help look after yourself. And join us again tomorrow for day two of our lifestyle article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Amanda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.